He never tells me that he's sick of this house. He never says, why don't you get off that couch? He don't cost me nothing when he wants to go out. I want you to love me like my dog.
This is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
Welcome to Pet Chat. Well, here we are. This is our, Diane, this is our inaugural, our first Pet Chat.
Our first Pet Chat, and we're very excited to be here today. I'm Diane, and I'm from Pampered Paws Pet Care, PA. We do professional pet sitting, daily midday dog walking, and we service Chester and Montgomery counties. We're caring, trustworthy, pet-centered, and service-oriented.
And I'm Jacques Schiller, and I'm the owner of Soap and Bean Pet Care, servicing King of Prussia and the surrounding areas, and we do overnights, specialize in that, besides taking care of your dogs and cats and birds and all sorts of animals. Even have a small bunny I'm taking care of. So we have unique services. And Diane, why don't you tell a little bit about your service?
Well, basically, we do special needs and overnights as well. We complement your area. We're a little bit of an extension of you guys. And we handle midday visits, vacation needs, in and around the Philadelphia area. But we're really excited today because we feel that this is something really special that's been on the horizon, that's really needed in the Philadelphia area. It's simply engaging people who really enjoy their pets and best practices in the industry, as well as tying in the things that we all love the most about our animals, from products to rescues to stories. And today, specifically, we're going to be hearing from two people about special stories that really come close to their hearts. And this story will evolve and tie into some things that we're going to be planning on, you know, in a few segments from today.
Absolutely.
So we're excited.
So you're going to hear all sorts of fun stories, tales of critters, where we've been, how we got there, about pets and their owners. And probably when we're done, you'll be a little sick and tired of us, but we don't care. So we have our first guest, Lisa. Why don't you tell us a little story? I think you have something really unique to tell us.
Yes, we our first puppy, we found her in Puerto Rico when we were on vacation. She was with us for 14 years. However, when we did find her, she was only given 2 years. And now I will pass it over to Bob and let him tell you the story.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Okay, she does that a lot.
Well, Bob, before you continue, I just wanted to kind of reintroduce you. It's this is Lisa and Bob from Lisa's Home Pet Care. And they're with us today. They were handpicked along with some other guests today to be a part of our first show. And I just wanted to make sure that we mention that. It's really an honor to have you here.
I hope you guys feel special.
Oh, and thank you so very much. I'd just like to say before we get started, too, I think it's a wonderful idea for the station WFYL to have this segment. I think it's really wonderful that people can talk about their pets. We all have them, and how much do we love them? And there really isn't a great opportunity for people to really share or hear other people's experiences. So I really look forward to future episodes of this.
Absolutely.
So, thank you, Bob. Thank you.
My pleasure. So, yeah, Lisa dumped this sort of on me. This was back in, we were, what, traveling in Puerto Rico?
I think it was about 98.
Yeah, about 1998. And we had been staying on the east side of the island. But I like to travel and get out. So we had had a Jeep that we had rented. And I wanted to go over to the other side of the island, on the west side, where they have a lot of surfing, and also Arecibo, where they have a big radio telescope, which is nice. And we wanted to just go around the entire island and get away from the tourist areas and basically just travel. And that's what we did. We spent the better part of the day driving around, right? And
staying out of the shark-infested waters. No,
that's right. But we found out that it wasn't actually as safe as we would have hoped being out of the water. We were driving back on the southern part of the island, Jacques, and it was about maybe 11 o'clock at night. And a vehicle came across the road and came into our lane. And I actually had to steer off the road into the forest area, right? And we took out the side of our vehicle. He did hit us. And the next thing we knew, it's like 11:30 at night, and we were in the southernmost remote part of the island, and not many English-speaking people were there. And this was, by the way, the night before Good Friday, which is a very holy, obviously, day on the island. Many places were closed. And fortunately, the rental company had to actually shuttle a car back very late at night to get us a replacement vehicle. And this is how it began. So we began our journey back to our hotel, right? Would you say it was around 1 o'clock in the morning, thereabouts? And we were driving up on the east side of the island, heading north. And I remember you were sort of falling asleep in the passenger side, right?
As I always do.
As she always does. And I noticed on the side of the road, like these like flashes of eyes, you know, when the headlights hit eyes. And it was like low on the road. And I'm like, wait a minute. I think I just saw something move like it was an animal. So I pulled over on the highway onto the side, and we backed up a little bit, and I couldn't really see. And sure enough, we came to this little ball of an animal, and I thought she was at first dead. I hate to say it. But then she moved her head when we were calling and touching her, right? And she looked up. And then she sort of went out again. So she was like in and out of consciousness. And so apparently she had been hit by a vehicle and left for dead on the side of the road, I'm afraid to say, Diane.
Now, Bob, was this a puppy? Was this an older dog? Or?
No, this was a puppy. Well, how old would you say she was?
She was 5 weeks old.
About 5 weeks
old.
Oh,
my goodness.
So she was really young. So we picked her up. And we put her in our car. We had a towel from earlier in the day from the beach. And Lisa, we put her on her lap. And we ultimately drove back to the hotel. And we snuck her into the hotel. And the following morning, we took her into San Juan, where there was a wonderful 24/7, 365 rescue facility. And we had her x-rayed and worked on. And we decided that we were going to bring her back to the United States and fly her back, which we were able to do ultimately.
So you saved her.
It worked out. Yes, ma'am.
That's fantastic. When you were at the facility there, were they surprised that you were making such a big effort during your vacation to save a life?
What do you think, Lisa? I think they were very appreciative, the people were.
We actually had some of the women in the office telling us what a great thing we were doing to actually save a life and take her back with us. And they were very, very happy.
Did you have any problems with customs to bring in the puppy?
Fortunately not. Puerto Rico, being a territory of the United States, is actually technically part of the United States. So it really wasn't like bringing an animal in from the other country. We just had to get some proper paperwork. And, you know, when we went to the airline and showed that this was, you know, a proper...
And we had to use a carrier that they provided in order to put her under the seat. However, we did not. We I took another flight, and Bob had her on the seat with him.
So she took your
actually
seat.
Was a passenger. She took my seat,
she
a
took
little
your
bugger.
Seat.
That's fantastic. So you brought her home then. I mean, when you found her on vacation, was it kind of at the beginning of your vacation? Or
it was closer to the end, Diane.
Oh, that's great. And then you brought her home.
Yes.
And
I thought she was going to be okay, and then we brought her into my office, and we noticed that she had been bleeding from her nose, and we felt that, you know what, we better really take this to a trauma center type place, and we thought University of Pennsylvania is very, very good for that. And we did take her there, and we admitted her, and they kept an eye on her, and you know, she was recuperating there for about 4 or 5 days.
That's fantastic. And so then you brought her into the country, you brought her into your heart, and she was with you for 14 years?
14, yeah. They had only estimated 2 years. She had extensive trauma to the head. Her skull was cracked. But fortunately, I think for her, she had going for her. She was so young that her bones and everything hadn't entirely formed. You know, I think she got a break in that respect, if you know what I mean.
Well, that was a very good Friday.
Yeah. It was a good Friday.
Excellent.
Great to have in our lives. We love her.
Well, thanks for the story. Thanks for coming in. This is AM 1180 WFYL. Have a great day.
Careful, my friend. He
ever ask me where in the hell have you been?
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 PM on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born.
I don't know where you are, but somewhere for this show, it's raining cats and dogs. Anyway, welcome to our second segment. We have another guest, Carolyn Tonner. Carolyn?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. I hear you're an animal lover, and you've been an animal lover for over 40 years, and at this time, you've had a lot of pets throughout mm-hmm. the 40 years,
yep.
But what's unique today, actually, is that you have two special needs horses that you adopted, and they do get along. We'd love to hear about your horses and your dog and your dog trials.
Okay. What first?
Well, what kind of horses do you have?
We have a Kentucky Mountain mare, and she is a gated horse. We've had her since September of 2009.
What's a gated horse?
Basically, she's a smooth riding. I don't know the technical kind of.
No, this is a non-technical
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's just like when she trots and canters, it's very smooth. It's very non-jarring on the hip and joints and back. And
so she has a smooth gait.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
As opposed to the thoroughbred, who's Dale, and he's an older guy. She's 22 this year, and he is approximately 24, 25. We're not exactly sure. There's no papers. But he is very, he also has some joint issues, so he makes him a little harder to ride. But he's
so tried, you don't ride him much then.
No, we at least once a week. We try to get there twice a week.
That's great.
We have them boarded. We don't have room in the yard for them. So, but you have to post with his trot.
Okay. Okay. So, which one do you enjoy riding more?
Belle, she was my first. She was the one I really wanted. I love the breed. They're very affectionate horses. She was a brood mare, which means that she just had a lot of babies. I don't quite know how many she had. She had at least two that I've seen. So I know she's had at least two, but they said about 8 years. She was, so she wasn't ridden. She wasn't handled. She came with quite a few hang-ups, or so to speak. She really didn't want to get caught, so you'd go out to the field with her halter and the lead line, and she'd be playing catch and cat and mouse kind of games. And I learned over time, but pretty quickly, I should say, that to make them have to run if they want to run, so that by the time they get, say, well, this is a lot of work to get caught, that eventually they figure it out. It's easier to get caught than to have to run around and get all hot. So that's basically how she kind of figured out, all right, I'll get caught. So you put the halter on them a couple times, you take it off. You put it on, you take it off. You do this like successionally.
Right.
And they pretty much said, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. Then you go leave them alone. You do the same thing the next day.
Did you always use a bit?
No, I'm just saying catch them with the halter and the lead line.
That's gotcha.
Not even getting anywhere near there.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me that when they rescue horses or adopt them and they have special needs, and we'll talk about the special needs, you know, in more detail, that it takes quite a while to build that trust up.
Yes.
Because they're flight animals.
Yes.
It's like kind of, you know, building trust with the deer. It's just going to take off.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about what makes them stand out to you the most and their special needs.
These, my two?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, Belle, she had her trust issue with that. She has trust issues with standing still to get mounted. She has issues with noise. So we would open a barn door and she would like want to run away. She would, we still have problems.
So real skidgety.
Yeah. She's very spooked. She gets spooked a lot.
Gotcha.
Like, so you'll be riding around, a bird will fly up, and she's like, oh my God, what was that? Aww. You know, that kind of thing.
And you've had her for 6 years?
Yeah. She'll be six years this September.
Oh, well, and now your Kentucky Mountain Horse.
That's Belle, right?
That's Belle. And is she the horse, the reason why you wanted to actually go to Kentucky and learn a little bit more?
Yes and no. I always loved Kentucky, just thought of it. I
the
wanted
bourbon.
To see. Yeah, oh, yeah, we did the bourbon tours. There's a lot to see there.
The caves.
We did Churchill Downs, and that was really, really fun, just seeing the back and the history, and they take you up to like the millionaire suite, it was a fun tour. They have a lot of horses there. We went to the Kentucky Horse Park. That was really great. At the time, there was Briar Fest going on. There was...
What's the Briar Fest?
Briars are collectible horses, usually plastic, but there are ceramic versions.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And little girls, they just know about them. If you love horses, you know about Briars.
That's cool. And tell us about dog trials. We were talking earlier today, and you'd mentioned something about dog trials.
When I was 15, we had a Brittany Spaniel. At the time, around 1980, they changed the name from Brittany Spaniel just to Brittany, because they are more than just a retrieving, fetching, hunting dog. And my father got me started with them, and we would go to, we lived on Long Island, we would go out east, and they would have what they call field trials, and the best I ever did was 4th place out of 14, and I felt really proud of that accomplishment with him. His name was Shane, and he was a young dog, but he was big. He was the run of the litter and ended up being the second largest of the brood. And a field trial basically is you have to teach your dog to use hand signals and also whistles, and either whistle through your mouth or whistle with a whistle, and point them in the direction of where the birds are planted. And as you're walking through the fields, many fields, water, whatever, the path, you have to kind of, and there's two judges on horseback, and I always admired being the judges. But
because you're a lover of horses, of course.
Yes, mm-hmm. And you guide the dog to where the birds are, and when the bird points, if it's a novice class, and when the bird points, that's when judging stops. But if they want you to flush the bird, you're allowed to flush the bird, and then the judging stops at when the bird is flushed. And your dog is supposed to still stay on point, but unfortunately, he was always wanting to run after the bird. But we were in novice class, so that didn't matter at the point. But what they do.
One quick question. When you are out in the field hunting and your dog is pointing, is this where the birds are settled? So the hunter knows where a flock of birds is? Or do they point after, say, a bird is down?
Well, the quail or pheasants in this point, the birds are always down in the ground.
Okay.
But field trials are not, they're blanks, guns.
Exactly.
They're not hunters. It's just a fun thing.
Sure.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because we're animal lovers. You're
not,
like, oh, no.
You're not killing the bird. It's just a matter of flushing the bird and
I don't
want to
see
away.
A wounded bird.
No.
Oh, cool.
We'll have to repair its wing.
Oh. And people have asked about it. And if you really want to know, there's Beagle field trials and there's Brittany field trials. And I'm sure there's ones for other breeds that I just don't know of because I've only had Beagles and Brittany's.
Great. Well, good story.
That's and fantastic.
Good to find out on the web. Just find out about your particular breed if you're interested in field trials.
That's great.
What's the most unusual pet you've ever had?
I don't know if anything's unusual anymore. I've heard of
weirder ones than I've ever had. How about one with the strangest personality or the most fun-loving pet? Anything stand out?
Our rescue dog, Sky, she passed away in April, and she had a lot of issues. Some of them were allergy issues. She was always licking her feet and licking her parts of her body that were like, you know, and I think it was a food allergy, but you're never sure because even when we changed her food to grain-free and this and whatever, she was still always scratching and licking something. So I don't know. She had issues. And she always had like a fear aggression. So she always was like, she wasn't the friendly dog at the dog park, you know? So her personality was.
And I
want
to kind of,
like
I want to call out that you adopted her from La Mancha Rescue.
Yeah, La Mancha,
in,
right?
In Coatesville, PA. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've done some work with La Mancha, taking some of our clients actually over to adopt and meet new pets, and they've been really helpful in working with us. And how long was she with you?
11, just over 11 years.
Wow.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
She was a great dog, but she just had issues, you know. But we've been really, really blessed with all our dogs. None of them have been really chewers, and haven't lost any furniture or shoes or clothing or anything. So God's blessed us with a lot of good animals.
That's so true.
Even the
so
horses
true.
Have their issues, but hey, you know, so do people. So
well, I think that's exciting that you took them in and opened your heart to them and boarded two special needs horses, and they get along. I mean, that's the most. They actually do get along. What are some of the quirky things that they do?
He really loves her. As soon as he came off the trailer where Belle was boarded, he was like, oh, she's mine. And he still runs up and down. Just where they are boarded now is four other geldings. Dale is one and Belle. And she just flicks up her tail and she's like, oh, high and mighty. And here I am. And he's like, stay away. She's mine, you know.
Oh,
so he runs
fantastic.
Up and down between the pastures and, you know.
Well, that's
stay
great.
Away.
Now, Carolyn, we thank you for coming in. We say hey for all your horses. So have a great day. And we'll see everyone during our next segment, AM 1180. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
WFYL.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Jock Doolittle. At least that's what my wife calls me.
Hi, Jock. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. This is Diane from Pampered Paws Pet Care PA, and I'm sitting here with him, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about you. We've been hearing about others today, and I was really intrigued when you started to tell me a little bit about how you came up with the name of your business. That was pretty interesting.
Yes. Soph and Bean Pet Care. Soph and Bean are two cats of mine. Sophie, of course, short for Sophie is Soph, and Jilly Bean, and short for Jilly Bean is Bean. So that's the Soph and Bean. And these are unique cats, and I've had Sophie for 22 years, and she's had an interesting life. In fact, when she was 7, she went out back. I was living in Dallas, Texas, and she got run over. And she got dragged for a while, and we couldn't find her. We looked for about 3 days, and everybody in the neighborhood knew that Sophie was missing. One day, the gardener went to the door neighbor and said, there's a cat underneath the deck by the pool. And the neighbor came over, and Sophie was under the deck crying. So he got his chainsaw and cut my deck open. That was okay.
Wow.
And out came Sophie, and he took her to the vet. And the vet called me at work and said, we have your cat. Would you like me to put her down? And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, she's all broken up. She has a broken jaw. All of her jaws are broken. Her spine is broken. So do you want me to put her down? I said, well, no. Can't you fix her? He says, yeah, well, it's going to cost about $6,000. I said, I don't care. This is my cat.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
And so she came home with four casts, one on each paw. Her jaw was wired shut. For 3 months, I fed her with an eyedropper, a little bit of milk, a little bit of water, and a little bit of food, all mixed up. Seven times a day, we had to put this eyedropper in her mouth for 3 months. Wow. And she had no hair on the back, and she had 32 stitches along her spine. And we called her Frank Kitty. And that was when she was seven, and she's 22 now.
I can't believe you've had her for 22 years. And oh, my goodness, that's awesome. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and we were down in Delaware. We have a condo down in Lewis, and we went to Georgetown to the SPCA to pick up a pet to be a Sophie's pet. She always had someone, and her dog had since died. So she was lonely, and so we got her a little kitten. The first day we brought the kitten home, Sophie disappeared outside. And every 2 hours, my wife had me go outside and go up and down the staircase at the condominium looking for her. And then she said, get up, go look for her. This went on all night. So about 9 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from the next condominium. And this young man said, I think I have your cat. We came home last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she was under the car next to where we pulled in, and we didn't want to wake you in the middle of the night, so that's calling now. And it was Sophie. So she was disrupted a little bit with a kitten, but about 3 or 4 months later, they were the best of friends. And Jelly Bean is six now, and Sophie now is 22. So that's the origin of Sophie Bean, name for Sophie Bean Pet Care.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. And where are you located exactly?
Well, we're King of Prussia and the surrounding areas. We do the main line. We'll go down to Collegeville and over to Conshohocken and over to Paoli. So that's basically everything within that area.
Okay.
We've been doing it for a little over a year and a half since I retired from Comcast and was bored. And my wife says, why don't you do something you love? And so we put together this idea and came up with a logo and a website and T-shirts and hats and stickers for the car, the magnets, and yard signs, and just tried to do as much marketing as we could and get a lot of value out of care.com and have rabbits, birds, dogs, cats right now that we take care of. And we do overnights. We had a couple that went down to Australia, and they were gone for 10 days, and they had two pugs. These pugs had to sleep in this bed. So I came at 11 o'clock every night, and I put the pugs up on the bed, and they slept with me. At 9 o'clock in the morning, let them out, fed them, disappeared until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, came back and fed them and let them out, and did that for 10 days and stayed in their guest room, and these pugs became new friends.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. You're kind of like the cat whisperer, I've noticed from looking through some of your materials. But then I saw this video on your phone with you actually comforting a bird.
Well, Snoozy, yes. Snoozy is a wonderful bird. The owner was a little leery about me coming in because Snoozy wouldn't let anyone touch her. Never. And in 5 minutes, she was raising her wing, and I was rubbing under her wing, and she fluffed up her neck hair and let me rub her head. And since that time, I've been coming about every other week. The owner goes down to the islands as part of her job and needs somebody to take care of her bird and feed and water, etc. And I'd come in, and Snoozy would chirp, 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 chirp.
That's fantastic.
knowing when I would come in, and I taught Snoozy a great trick. She had a bell in a ball that's hanging into her cage, and she walks around outside of the cage. And I would move to the center of the cage this ball, and she would come over and move it back to the edge so she could ring the bell. And then I'd move it to the center, and she'd get all pissed off, and she'd move it back to the edge again so she could ring the bell. Aww. And so it's a little game we played. So haven't taught her to talk, but she does play games now.
Well, what's really unique from what I've learned is I think you're a natural with animals. I see that, you know, when it comes to cats and dogs and birds, they really take to you.
Well, I take to them. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the reason I got into this business is because I just love pets. Like our prior guest, I love horses, and I come from California, and I was in a group called the California Rangers, where we rode horseback, and we were in parades. We did the Rose Parade. We were in uniform, doing military drill on horseback, and it was a great time from the time I was 12 until I was 18. And you go up through the ranks, and you're a corporal, then you're a first sergeant, and then you're a lieutenant. And it was a great training for young people. And from that point on, you know, besides having dogs my entire life, I loved horses. First dog named Pal, a German Shepherd, lived with me from the time I was 4 until I was 18. Oh, slept gosh. With me every night until I was 18. It's like a brother. So
that's fantastic.
Just pet lover. What can I say?
Yeah, I love it. That's why we're here. You know, it's really a unique group of people today, especially just getting together and engaging in conversation about something that we all love and have in
Absolutely.
Common. And what really surprises me is, I guess, how brave people are and how bold they are, too, with, you know, you retired from Comcast not too long ago and you would have never thought that you would be dealing with different types of dogs and personalities and birds and the humans.
Right.
You know, yeah. it's just really, it's, I consider all my clients family. I really do.
And same here. And it's that I never even thought about doing until I started doing it. And now I can't think of not doing it. So it's just one of those things, you know, a second life. And a second profession, I think it's going to be my best.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
Well, I think we've finished another segment. And everyone listening to AM 1180, WFYL, thank you. And we'll see you in our next segment.
Thank you so much. Stay tuned.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
Well, this truly is a happy day. This is the first day of Pet Chat. Now we have probably our best segment. We're going to interview Diane here. And
thank you, Jack.
An aside, why do you like that song so much?
Well, it's kind of funny. I love the movie Secretariat, and that was one of the theme songs. But it also was the first song that I heard after closing on our business, when we merged our business with another and grew our team and our service area from Chester to Montgomery counties. So it was a really happy day, and it was just really, you know, gave me goosebumps when I heard that song driving home.
Was it actually one of the happiest moments after closing on that business? Getting rid of all your corporate clothes.
Yeah, hear me telling my story earlier. So I had a big wardrobe of suits. I was in pharmaceuticals. I was in communications, which I love.
QVC.
I saw some people making their dreams come true at QVC. It was really exciting. And that was actually probably one of the steps that kind of made me think, you know, I really want to do something, you know, similar to what these folks are doing. And I started to, you know, research me a little bit and see what I like to do. And, you know, it's always been about animals. I had this business on the side for a long time. And then it just so happened that I met somebody who was selling their business. Was
it just you prior to that?
It was me, and I was growing just a little bit. So I was ready to get a partner and a little team.
Right.
And so I met somebody who she was selling her business, and she was doing it for over 20 years, and she had a lot of interest and interviewed a lot of people. And then at the end, because I was in business for a while, she thought I was a good choice, and my husband made a really good speech. And then we got the lawyers, and everybody came together, and it was crazy after that.
What did all of her employees think about being sold?
It was fantastic because she was so wonderful during the transition, and I promised them exactly what we're doing today is, you know, we're called Pampered Paws Pet Care PA. We do professional pet sitting, daily midday dog walks, special needs overnight, and we're caring, trustworthy, pet-centered, and service-oriented, but we operate beyond best practices. So we try to do what's just outstanding when it comes to service. I always look at it as, you know, if you're Nantucket, an island in the middle of nowhere, why are you going to take a ferry to Nantucket? What's so great about it? You know, and you talk to people who go out there and they take the ferry over. It's just the most, it's almost like Disneyland in the ocean.
Right.
It's fantastic. It's a different level of service. It's very friendly. And I think our industry really needs that. We have a lot. We have, you know, how many, the U.S. has millions and millions of pets in, you know, pet owners.
Well, there's so many companies. Well, not even companies, just pet sitters out there that are just like a college student and they're working part time. And to actually be a company and to think of yourself as a company, I'm sure.
And we are.
Just like Soap and Bean Pet Care, we think ourselves as a business that people want to attach themselves to, and I'm sure yours is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. It's very personal. Even with, we have 22 feet on the ground, in addition to me, and probably soon to be 24. But I take
it's like a little centipede.
Yeah, I take it slow. You know, it's all about relationships. Everyone in our family of care, it really is a true family, and it's a bigger circle than, you know, what I had before, but I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, it's intimate, and, you know, I hope, you know, we can't buy a software package out there that's going to do what we want to do.
No,
it hasn't
not.
Been invented yet. You know, other companies are using things, but we just really want to be able to chat with our clients and email and stay in touch, and we share pictures, and we share a lot of updates on Facebook. We share, you know, personal stories on Facebook, rescue stories. We also try to save lives. You'll notice one of our Facebook posts recently was about a puppy named Cooper, and he stole a lot of people's hearts, and we drove into the city last Friday night and got him. So, and there were four people who actually communicated with me, and I never met them before, and we met when we got Cooper, and it's been a team of angels. It's really amazing.
Well, that's great. I mean, you're able to not only take care of dogs in terms of dog walking and pets within the home, but you're a rescue service. That's fantastic. Tell me a story. I know there's got to be a great story.
I would say probably Cooper's story is the one that's just on my mind right now. But I think, like my husband will say, I am pretty much a story. I could be driving down the street and there's a turtle going down the street, and we could be headed, you know, to a dinner or a function or something, and it's late. I will stop traffic to save that turtle. You know, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm a big animal advocate. And, you know, one of my stories is they are, you know, my turtles, Herbie and Hemi. It was just really funny. I was at my mom's house for Mother's Day, and she opened up a photo album and showed me a picture of me holding my turtle from 30 years ago.
That's amazing. This is a quick aside. Back long, long time ago when I lived in California, I was driving through the Bonneville Salt Flats, and there are these two cities, one called Elko and one is Winnemucca. And when I was driving through Winnemucca, I looked in the rearview mirror, and this line of ducks crossed the street.
That's fantastic.
The mother and all these little chicklings, and they disappeared into the brush, and there was one left on the street. And I pulled over, and it couldn't find the other ones, and they had gone. And so I took this duck, we called him Winnemucca Duck.
Oh, that's great.
And put him in the bathtub every night. And when we got back to L.A., took her to a pet store, and they adopted Winnemucca Duck.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Sorry to take your
great.
Time. But anyway, you reminded me of that when you said the turtle on the road.
Oh, it's funny because I have actually stopped. I was driving my Jeep one time down the road, and I saw a mom pacing back and forth over storm drain with one baby duck in tow. And then I realized that the rest of them had fallen in.
Oh.
And this was right in Lionville, Exton area. So I ended up, I thought my tow line could actually lift the storm drain, but that thing was about 200 pounds.
Very heavy.
I was lucky, though. The fire company was having a multiple fire company grouping meeting down the street, and they came down with their trucks, and the guys stopped traffic with the police, and we got the ducks out in probably about 11 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It was fantastic. It was really cool.
That is great.
So I got a lot of pictures of that, too. But we do a lot with the community. what's really unique about our team, and it takes a while to build a team like this, we truly are backup buddies to each other. So if somebody's sick or somebody gets hurt, one of our sitters had, she's going through foot surgery right now. We come together and we help cover each other, and we meet our clients. We have long-lasting relationships. But every single one of our sitters is unique in that one has worked at the Philadelphia Zoo, horse expert. Everybody has like a different type of expertise.
Are they geographically situated also, each in a little different community? So when you have needs in that community, you call on that particular sitter often and again?
Yep, that's what we do. And we have a really good network. Now, we also, a lot of our sitters actually do rescue. They do cat rescues, dog rescues. So on the weekends, you'll see them volunteering. We also do events like Paint It Forward. Aardvark Animal Hospital, which just moved to Downingtown, they had an event where you paint and all the monies are donated to a rescue. And we highlight small businesses like that and partner with them, because if you are to see an animal hurt in a road, it's amazing that you can go to a vet who is also a rescue if you can't find the owner of that animal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can raise funds and help to raise monies to, you know, help with surgery. And she doesn't hesitate. She does the right thing.
And you mentioned you have people that take care of horses as well.
Yes.
Groom horses, take care of like feeding and stuff when people go on vacation or whatever.
Yep. The estate, the animals, the food, chickens. Chickens are my favorite. I don't know why. They just make you smile. You know, it's they're so much fun. It's just neat to see that more and more people are actually becoming backyard, you know, chicken people. I don't know what backyard bird. I guess there's a website out there to learn how to do it, but it, you know, you could have two chickens, you could have 15, but it's pretty cool. So when you do chicken sit, you end up with a lot of eggs.
Chicken sit.
So I bring home a lot of fresh eggs to my husband quite often, and he cracks up. But
you crack the egg.
Yeah,
right?
We crack the egg.
Ta-ding.
There's a lot of funny stories in pet sitting, let me tell you. And there's a lot of good training that's out there. I do partner with a lot of trainers too, for behavior, or just, you know, trainers that come to the house if you have a new rescue and just want to understand what happened, you know, what's going on in the mind of the animal. And
have you done any behavior modification with your husband?
Absolutely. Oh, I take him every time I take one of my own dogs. I make sure he comes.
That's right.
So he doesn't know exactly what I'm up to, but you know, by the end of the day,
well, I hate to cut you off, but we're almost done for the day.
Aww.
This is our first pet chat, and it was fantastic. And
it certainly was. It was such a pleasure, such a joy to meet everyone today and yeah, be a part of it.
We had great guests.
It really was. Very engaging.
And the hosts, the WFYL, of course, 1180, hosted us, and we'll be back next week.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So happy days.
Happy days.
To everyone out there, one and all.
Our pack is your pack.
That's right. You guys take care.
Thank you. Good night.
Good day.
Good day and good night.
Good day and good night. Hi, this is Diane Kaczynski.
And this is Jacques Doolittle. Actually, Jacques Schiller, but my wife calls me Jacques Doolittle. Diane, why don't you tell us a little bit about Pet Chat?
Well, we're excited because this is something really special that's happening here at the station. And what we proudly want to introduce it as geared towards pet ownership, pet lovers, people who are passionate about their pets, their dogs, their cats, their horses, birds, turtles. And we just really want to come together and talk about it and share best practices and things that are happening in the industry and products and places, even, you know, travel places that you can take your animal. So what better way to enable the two-way conversation about our favorite topic? And here we are in the radio studio
doing
that.
This is definitely our favorite topic.
And we'll be on air once a week on WFYL. And it's real life.
1180.
Yep. And it's real life conversation. So if you're interested in engaging with us, also let us know. And this program is going out to the greater Philadelphia area, and we're excited about it. So we hope that you can join us every week.
Every week. We'll be here.